This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, it might be time to think about skipping the stretching before we exercise. We'll hear about some new research about the tried and true exercise ritual.
First, a look at the minimum wage here in Wisconsin.
The group Wisconsin Jobs Now is trying to use a 101-year-old state law to force Wisconsin to boost its minimum wage. The group is organizing low-wage workers who are presenting testimonials about how they can't live on what they're paid. Here's a clip the group sent us sharing the story of Brittany Ferguson.
I make $9 an hour at the hotel housekeeper. My income is not enough to support myself or my family. As an example, I had a few weeks ago while grocery shopping. When I got to the checkout, I realized my total was more than I had. Even my food stamp card couldn't cover it. In front of my kids, in a store full of people, I made the decision to choose either hot dogs or bread for my kids to eat. This situation was humiliating, and my daughter didn't understand. She asked me, why if I work, why don't I have enough money to buy hot dogs and bread?
Here to discuss this campaign is Jen Epps Addison. She's the executive director of Wisconsin Jobs Now. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for covering this incredibly important issue.
Well, we just heard that testimonial from Brittany Ferguson, a low-wage worker. Why are you collecting these stories and sharing them?
Well, I think, you know, what's important to understand is that it's workers out there collecting these stories. They're talking to their coworkers. They're leading campaigns. They're asking the folks that they work with to, you know, come out of the shadows and come out to the public about what it's like to be an underpaid worker, what it's like to get up every day, work as hard as you possibly can, contribute billions of dollars in profit to the economy and still not be able to feed your family at night. And I'm so proud of Brittany. I'm getting emotional now just thinking about her testimony. I have chills because she breaks her back as a maid in a hotel, ensuring that families have the opportunity to take their kids on vacation and enjoy those peaceful times in life. And yet she has none of those, even though she works incredibly hard.
Now, what's this law you're using to convince the state government to raise the minimum wage?
Well, it's a good Wisconsin old-time progressive values law, and it was established over 101 years ago. And essentially what it does is it says that the state of Wisconsin shall not allow any worker to make less than a living wage. And so it actually allows workers, if the situation is that the state legislature doesn't act or the governor will not act, it allows workers to file a complaint, which triggers a process that the state must actually evaluate whether or not the wage that's being paid to the workers of Wisconsin is, in fact, a living wage. It's a wonderful, good old-fashioned Wisconsin law that ensures that equal opportunity and economic security are available to the greatest number of Wisconsinites.
But this law, as I understand it, doesn't really define what the concept of a living wage is, what it means. Does that make it difficult to make this case now?
Actually, no, I don't think it does because, one, there's, you know, a mountain of research about what it takes, what the actual costs are for raising families. We have incredible research that's been done over a number of years. Two, you know, what this law is set up to trigger is allowing people who are actually living on these wages to file a complaint, to have a legal avenue and a available remedy for poverty wages. And this is exactly what we need to do in an economy where the fastest growing jobs are in low wage service sector industries. We've never seen profits higher for these corporations. The gap between the rich and the poor is getting wider and wider, and Wisconsin has the distinction of having, you know, a major metropolitan area that is the worst in the country in both income and racial segregation and income inequality. So, you know, the state of Wisconsin is heading in the wrong way. We're not addressing the fact that the fastest growing jobs are these poverty wage jobs, and we have people who are literally helping to make billions of dollars in profits who are relying on public assistance. We are subsidizing the profits of fast food companies, of Walmart, of these CEOs who have these extravagant and exorbitant lifestyles. And we can't afford to do it anymore as a state. We have to take back control and talk about what's in the public interest. That's what this law was set up to do. It was set up to allow the workers of the state an avenue to take back control and to do what is in the public interest.
So stories like the one we heard there from Brittany Ferguson, they are the challenge under this law, presenting these stories to the state and saying, hey, review this. This is evidence.
Absolutely. I mean, what the governor has to do is he has to sit down and say, is there a way for Brittany Ferguson, a hardworking Wisconsinite, a hardworking Wisconsin family, is there a way for her to survive on the $9 an hour she makes as a hotel maid, helping to make profits for the corporations of the state? Is it enough for her to have a decent lifestyle? Can she afford the basics for her family, keeping her lights on, keeping a roof over her head, being able to live independently and, you know, afford food without the need of government assistance? And if not, then the state needs to act and determine what a living wage is. What is the minimum amount that workers need to be paid to live a decent lifestyle? The law is plain English. It is clear. And it says the state of Wisconsin shall do this. It is the highest level of legal scrutiny there is, shall. It's a determination. It's a direction.
Do you have a number in mind that would you think an hourly wage that would reflect a minimum wage, a living wage?
Well, look, you know, if, you know, minimum wage, if it would have kept up with inflation, if it would have just risen at the same level as inflation, it'd be right around $11 an hour. And, you know, if it kept up with worker productivity, which is really the measure of you know, a fair economy, it would be right around 20. So I think, you know, it's incumbent upon the governor. The governor is the one who has to act to actually do an impartial determination about what actually constitutes a living wage. And I think for that, he's going to need to take testimony from the hundreds of thousands of Wisconsin workers who are living below the federal poverty line. He has to take that seriously. Any governor should. This is not a partisan issue. You know, we should, you know, explain to folks that the majority of Republicans, not just Democrats, the majority of Republicans agree that the state should raise its minimum wage. Poll after poll has shown that. It is an incredibly bipartisan issue. It's probably the most important issue we can address in this state, and the governor is refusing to act. He's refusing to acknowledge that wages are declining in Wisconsin. They have been year after year, and we have to do something. We have to do something about the fact that our manufacturing jobs have been replaced by low-wage service sector jobs. And even though there are no shortage of profits, these are incredibly profitable billion-dollar corporations, wages are declining, even though we're more educated as a workforce than we've ever been before. 30% of these folks have some form of college degree.
We're talking to Jen Epps Addison. She's executive director of Wisconsin Jobs Now, about the group's campaign to use a century-old Wisconsin law saying, in effect, the state can't allow employers to pay less than a living wage. They're using this law in an effort to raise the minimum wage here in Wisconsin.
And we'd love to hear from you about this. Do you think that it's a good idea to raise the minimum wage? Why or why not? And how do you think raising the minimum wage would change our state's economy? What do you think the minimum wage should be to constitute, as we're hearing, a living wage? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Veronica Bickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We'll continue the conversation and maybe hear your thoughts after the news right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation about raising the minimum wage in Wisconsin with Jen Epps Addison, the head of Wisconsin Jobs Now.
And we're taking your calls. Do you think it's a good idea to raise the minimum wage in Wisconsin? Why or why not? What should the minimum wage be? Call 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org. Before we get to callers, Jen, we hear from business owners often, if you increase the minimum wage, great. I'm not going to be able to hire as many people. There aren't going to be as many jobs out there.
I mean, I think we know that's been proven to be a falsity. When we look at the data, when you look at the research, the states with the fastest growing economies are the states that have raised their minimum wage in the last year. empirically, you know, it makes sense. 70% of our economy is consumer driven. So if people don't have enough money in their pockets to afford a luxury every now and then, but, you know, not even the basic necessities, we're talking about a worker who, you know, has to choose between hot dogs and bread, even though she's on public assistance. I mean, this is ridiculous. She's working. That is not, you know, we keep hearing her, I quote from her, just, it's so powerful to me. She said, you know, today that we keep hearing from Governor Walker that it's working. And, you know, that he's out here working for Wisconsin families, and I'm a Wisconsin working family, and it's not working for me, and it's not working for, you know, hundreds of thousands of families across our state. We should all be outraged about that. This isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. You look at even Michigan, you know, the Republican governor in Michigan agreed to raise the state's minimum wage. We have Republican governors across the country who have agreed to expand Medicare. Let's not forget that there are nearly 20 referendums across the state of Wisconsin asking should the state of Wisconsin accept the federal Medicaid expansion money. And the majority of the people in this state believe that we should, right? These are core basic issues to the direction our state is heading in. And right now, you know, we have elected officials who are putting partisan politics over the best interests of our state. And it's the best interest of all working families, not Democrat families, not Republican families, Wisconsin's hard-working families across the state.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Steve on the line in Eau Claire. Steve, hi.
Hi. I want to say, yes, I am in favor of increasing the minimum wage. I also want to say that I'd like to give a brief historical perspective and then ask how I can help. I'm semi-retired now. I entered the workforce in the mid-60s, and in the mid-60s we had a thriving middle class, a booming economy. CEOs were making 40 times what the minimum wage worker was making, and I was entering the workforce as a minimum wage worker at $1.25 an hour. That was not a good job, but it was something that a kid living with his parents could benefit from, and I did. Flash forward to now, when in the 60s a gallon of gas was 30 cents a gallon, a loaf of bread was in the mid-20s, a pair of jeans was $5 to $7. Everything today is 10 times more expensive as it was then. So $1.25 an hour should be closer to $12, $13 an hour just to match minimum wage at that time. But now we've got CEOs working at 400 times what the minimum wage is earning, or of their workers is earning. We've got complications with wealth flowing from the middle class to the upper 1% and the rest of the country suffering the politics of that. I would like to support your effort, especially since you've got this great news, an old Wisconsin law, which both, it's got to be nonpartisan. Both parties have to agree that an old law based on fairness is something both parties can rally behind.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. His last point there you wanted to support, I think, was asking how people can support that effort, Jen.
Well, thank you, Steve, and absolutely to everything you said. Folks should just go to our website, raisewisconsin.org. You can find out all of the information on the campaign, how you can get involved, how you can help other workers file complaints. We know that there are hundreds of thousands of workers who, you know, would benefit from increasing the state's minimum wage, who, you know, are struggling to support their families. Those folks need to come forward and come out of the shadows. You know, Brittany and also Brandy from Wausau, Wisconsin, testified today, and it was terrifying, I think, for both of them. It was emotional for both of them. There's such a shame that, you know, the governor and other people have put in underpaid workers. And these are folks doing really critical jobs to our economy. The fast food industry is one of the most profitable industries in the country. Home health care is one of the most important services we have. We have people going to take care of the sick, the elderly, and the disabled, and they can't even afford to go to the doctor themselves. You know, this is real life for people, and it's, you know, completely against everything that Wisconsin is supposed to be. We were the state that invested in public education so that everybody would have the opportunity to, you know, advance themselves. And we had a workforce that is more educated than ever before, and yet they are falling behind on wages. It makes no sense. It's time that we correct this, and this law was put into place over 101 years ago to give workers the opportunity to have a say when their elected officials are being corrupted by the money in politics. And that's exactly what's happening today.
Steve, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Karen with us in Green Bay. Karen, hi.
Hi. I am a supporter of increasing the minimum wage. My concern is that corporations are just going to either increase prices or pass more insurance costs, which is kind of the trend for today, off to the worker. So in eventuality, they wouldn't actually receive more spendable income.
Karen, thanks. So this will cost us more, and workers will end up having to pay in another way, Jen.
Well, I think there's an incredible social pressure. For instance, there was a company in Minnesota who, after Minnesota agreed to pass the law to raise the state's minimum wage, actually put on one of their receipts a minimum wage fee, which I think it was something like 35 cents. It was a small fee, but a minimum wage fee. And that, you know, that got spread over social media. The customer actually took a picture of it, put it out on Twitter, put it out on Facebook. It spread over social media, and within days, the social pressure forced the company to stop the practice. I think people are tired of the, you know, doomsday predictions, because the reality is that it just doesn't bear it. You have the market is going to bear what it can bear, and right now, you know, wages are going down, but the prices of goods are going up, and income inequality is as high as it's ever been, and we're seeing that destructive force happening in our economy. We need to right the ship. We need to expand our middle class. If we look at, you know, the difference in CEO pay from when we had the greatest and most expansive middle class in the history of the world, the strongest middle class in the history of the world, and what we're seeing today, you know, it makes no sense. This is America's a richer nation than we've ever been. So why are worker wages declining? It makes no sense. It's time that we fix it. And we have a law that is 101 years old that gives us the opportunity to fix it, that gives Governor Walker the opportunity to show leadership and do what's in the best interest of the working people of this state.
Karen, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Jim with us in Wausau. Jim, hi.
Hi. I guess my question is, I hear that lady testify about choosing between hot dogs and bread, and it really is gut-wrenching to hear her have to make that decision. But what's frustrating to me, I think, is I talk to a lot of people drive truck, work in manufacturing, work in all kinds of different areas with skilled trades, and they can't find people to fill the jobs. And they're really good-paying jobs. They're much better paying than being a maid or working in fast food. And I think the better way to expand the middle class would be to get more people to be willing to apply for these jobs and take them. They're from not being able to find people to sew for some of these things to heavy manufacturing, light manufacturing, drivers for long haul. They can't find people to fill their jobs, and a lot of those are really good paying jobs that would help people a lot more than the minimum wage.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Jenny's saying, don't forget the minimum wage. You can't get people to take better paying jobs as it is.
Well, I think, you know, look, there's research about the idea of the skills gap. And really, you know, what most of the research has found is there's more of a pay gap than there is a skills gap. But I think one thing to be careful about, look, 2/3 of minimum wage workers are women. We have to remember that the industries where folks are most likely to earn low wages, poverty wages, and to be underpaid are the service sectors that women are traditionally doing, whether that's cooking and preparing and serving food, whether it's taking care of the sick or the elderly or taking care of children, whether it's, you know, going into education. These are nursing. These are incredibly important jobs, but they're underpaid and they're undervalued, and yet they make huge profits. And so I think we need to be careful about saying what types of jobs are valuable and not valuable. The reality is that if these are the, you know, fastest growing jobs in our economy, then we need to be able to fill those jobs. We need to be able to make sure that the people who are doing those jobs are, you know, able to support their families and are able to live independently, and that we keep corporations in check.
Jen, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today. That was Jen Epps Addison. She's the executive director of Wisconsin Jobs Now. She was with us to discuss the group's campaign to raise the minimum wage in Wisconsin.